Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers of the Dork Forest. It's me, Jackie Cation, and you are listening to the Dork Forest. You can go to the websites, JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com. JackieCation.com has DorkForest.com. It has the audio links. It has the video links to my YouTube. It has all of my dates for stand-up comedy. It has all the merch. It's got Dork Forest merch and stand-up merch and all of my CDs and DVDs if you have those devices. Other things you can do, Bandcamp. There's a Bandcamp with the very old episodes. Some of them are free. And then there's a storytelling album that you can get on my Bandcamp. And I'm on Pandora and Spotify. It is 2025, and feel free to start donating to the Dork Forest. Yeah, cost me about 10 grand a year to put this up. If everybody donated $100 every year, if everybody just handed me $100 every time they saw me, or PayPal, Venmo, then I would have, I think, about 10 grand. I don't know, but I would have enough money to run this and probably buy myself lunch. And I'm a big fan of doing the show. I'll do it anyway. But if you have $100, send me $100. If you have $2, send me $2. You can do it monthly on PayPal. There's buttons all over my website. And my Venmo is just my name. No hyphen, Jackie Cation. I'm wearing a red shirt. Let's get into the show. Oh my gosh, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
At the show here at the Rangers of the Dork Forest. It's me. I'm back in my home it's been an exciting time recording the Dork Forest these days because I'm like, we're recording. We're putting it out. We're recording. Patrick, everything's done. Anyway, Kathy Ladman, who I've been trying to get on for ages. Kathy Ladman, welcome to the show, first of all.
Thank you. The last time I did the show was so long ago.
And was it about knitting?
It was about knitting. And I'm still dorking out about knitting. And I've also added another craft to my repertoire, Tunisian crochet.
Well, but we're not talking about that, but let's hear it.
No, we're not.
What
we're
is
not.
It?
But I
what
just, if anybody
it?
Listens to that.
Why is it different? How is it different from
regular
Western
crocheting?
Christian cook?
Christian
Christian crocheting.
The standard.
Right. Everything is, there's white pages everything. And then there's everybody else. Anyway.
That's right. So, Tunisian crochet is, you don't do it one, it's not one loop at a time.
Okay.
You go across a row and you carry loops across this long hook.
Oh, okay.
And then you close off and you're left at the end. And then you do pick up loops again and then you close off and you follow. I mean, there are a lot of different stitches that you can get, but I love making these dishcloths with Tunisian crochet. They're really pretty, like a lot of colorful stuff.
Right. These are words.
I know. I don't have enough time in my life to do everything that I'd love to do. I have to blow my nose.
Nope. You do have enough time to do that?
What?
You have enough time to do that. It's one of the things you love to do is to blow your nose, and you've had the time.
It's imperative. I'm allergic to something, and I don't know what it is.
With the American public, and those of you who are, thank your lucky stars, not in America, that are listening, Rangers, Kathy Ladman is at Kathy Ladman on Instagram, but it's at Kathy Ladman 1, the number 1. And then it's at Kathy Ladman on whatever other things you might be looking for. And there is a KathyLadman.com. It'll be in the notes. What you should know is that she's doing a show with two other complete amazing comics, Wendy Liebman and Carol Leifer, correct?
Correct.
Three L's, Kathy Ladman. Get it? They all their last names start with an L, you guys.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be opening for Marc Maron and then just going to warm up the crowd for his Netflix special. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So, and that's also in May, but that's Vermont, New Hampshire, and New York. So you can look on Marc Maron's website. It starts like the 5th, May 5th, 6th, and 7th. And
yeah.
Then
and you can also, the information's on my website as well.
Oh, that's perfect. There we go. So, but I will say that when you did the knitting thing, and I think I told the story, people ask me the same questions about the Dork Forest 1,000 times. And one of them is, what is a dorkdom? And I famously, in my mind, I asked you if you wanted to do the show probably 10 years ago. And you said, well, I only have the one thing, but it, you know, knitting is cool. And I had to go, well, probably not. if you're into it as much as I think you're into it, but everything is cool.
Yeah.
I think it's, if you're into something, that kind of makes it cool. It makes it cool.
I love your idea for this podcast. Hmm. Did it just come to you?
Yes, because I did that joke back in the early 2000s about how deep into the dork forest I would have to go to find someone I would not hang out with.
The term the dork forest is it's just, I told my boyfriend this yesterday that I was doing your podcast. It's called the Dork Forest. And he says, that's a great name.
Well, that's,
it's,
you know what?
A great name.
It's a, it is. And it's interesting that I've only recently realized that I'm supposed to be asking people if they want to like buy things, like the idea of the Dork Forest or put it on a show. So we're 19 years in and I'm
wow.
just learning.
Unbelievable.
I know. There's like there's your episode 820 of
wow.
the pre-recorded. There's 216 episodes where I'm just like holding up a mic to a telephone.
Wow.
So those episodes, feel free to find those and become curious as you try to listen to them. They're on my Bandcamp.
they're a challenge.
They are a bit of a challenge, but let's get it. And this is, it's always funny when people are like, I want to talk about these things. And you see that other people have talked about something comparable, but it's absolutely never the same. So you wanted to pick a couple of your favorite movies from the 1930s and 40s.
Yes. And I love,
yeah.
I love all eras
film.
Of film. I just love movies so much.
Me too.
And
I love being entertained.
I
and
do love being entertained.
You know what? Movies is one of the greatest ways of doing it. You
know,
put it together for an hour and a half, point it at me, I win.
I know. So. And, you know, when I was in college, I studied, and I've always been into older movies. My dad was really into them, and he turned me on to those eras. The
oh, okay.
30s and the 40s. And then when I was in college, I took one course with cinema of the 30s. So
oh, wow.
that really gave me
It was
me
a heck of a decade.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Amazing.
So good.
So good.
Do you like dramas, action, comedies, romance?
I like...
Or all of it?
I really like all of it.
That's amazing.
I really like if it's a well done film, if it's a good script and great acting,
yeah,
and great direction, I think it's and not to diss the lighting and the sound. I don't mean to
right,
leave
right.
that out, but
well, because it's all. I mean, everybody's at work. It turns out, and they're
oh my
and
God,
some,
it's
they're really
amazing.
Good at their jobs.
It's like when I got into this business, I. really got an appreciation of how many people it takes. Like one thing about the 30s and the 40s, especially the 30s, is you don't see those kind of credits that we see
in
movies today. The credits are so brief in
right.
the 30s.
Right. There's literally like 30 people made a
yeah,
movie.
Maybe.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like how many people made The Thin Man? Right.
I mean, it must have been so many more people than were given credit, I'm sure. But anyway, The Thin Man, that's another one.
It's a good,
favorites.
I think that's from the 30s, right?
I think it is.
Initially.
But
what's
there were some sequels.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It got, there was trouble after the third one, as always happens. When they get married and it's too much about the dog and then they have a kid, slow
oh,
down.
Oh, God, tell
just
me about it. I mean,
grab another
it.
Book.
I've
George Cukor. Grab another.
So you want to know, I picked
yeah.
five. I actually picked seven, but there are more that I could
do. Oh my
do,
God, there's too many. Yeah.
Bringing Up Baby.
This is great. Andy hates that movie. I
really?
Love that movie. Yes.
Why does he hate it?
He finds it uncomfortable because of
way?
how dumb she is.
Oh.
And how not capable he is Like I think he does not enjoy slapstick comedy.
I guess not. But God, because, it's so funny. Oh my God, when she's trying to park that car.
Oh, right, right.
And pull the car out of the spot, and she keeps, she keeps, like, you know, what year looking was at that? It as if, like, something got in her way. Right. And, oh, she was, and you know, that film actually labeled her box office poison based on that film.
This is Katharine Hepburn and Cary Grant in 1933?
Right. Let me find it.
Hey, Siri, what year was Bringing Up Baby?
Thank you.
1938.
Baby was published February 18th.
Published.
Published. Yeah.
So what does Siri know?
And she's so proper.
So 38,
Late in the 30s. Yeah. In fact, a lot of mine seem to be later. I'm covering the 30s and the 40s here.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So it's Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn, and I forgot. Is that where they meet? Is that in the car? Is that
they
where
they meet? On the golf course. That's my ball. Right. Your ball. Your car. Is there anything that doesn't belong to you? You.
She's so good.
Oh my God. So good. She was, and they're so fast. The dialogue is so fast. And he was amazing. I mean, it just makes me laugh out loud.
Right.
I passed over a lot of films that are more popular. I wanted to go with things that maybe some people hadn't have heard of.
Oh, right, right.
Like I love, It Happened One Night and Casablanca and It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, there are a lot of films that are
all the great movies. These are just five or seven other movies.
Right, right.
Know in your heart that if you were to just Google the best movies of the 1930s, you would probably get at least 30 movies.
Yes.
Because it was, even in 1939, I think that it was such an amazing,
The Wizard of Oz and Gone with the Wind year.
Right. But also came out that year was Holiday.
Oh, Holiday is so great.
It's my favorite movie.
I love, with Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn right?
Yeah. Which is what made me, I think, look more into other movies of the 30s. The first time I saw Holiday, I saw it on VHS. And then I watched it, and then I rewound it and watched it again. Because it made me so happy.
You know, there was, when I grew up in New York, and we had a show on there. I mean, I grew up in the 60s, basically. Mm-hmm. And there was a show called Million Dollar Movie. And it showed one movie 11 times during the week.
What? On TV?
On TV.
Each week it would play the same film 11 times.
11 times. And one week I watched Summer Stock 11 times every single time it was on. I was nuts.
Who was in Summer Stock?
Gene Kelly and Judy Garland. She does that very famous song, Judgment Day. Forget your troubles. Come on, get happy. Yeah.
That's it.
That's from that movie.
Gene Kelly.
And obviously and great Garland. Dancing and singing. And she was some dancer.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
First of all, we in the 70s, just 10 years later, we had to wait till somebody died. And then they would show the movie you wanted to watch. When Jimmy Stewart died, I was like, this is very sad. What are they going to show? I need to see all of Jimmy Stewart's movies.
Right.
And it was a little bloodthirsty.
I know. That's so funny because back then we were not in control of what movies we wanted to. We couldn't watch everything on demand.
You couldn't see. You're like, I remember the first time I saw It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm-hmm.
Not It's a Wonderful Life. You can't take it with you.
Oh, great.
Right. You can't take it with you. I saw the last half of it on PBS, mm-hmm. a local PBS channel.
Right.
Literally the next day I called them and I said, what was that movie? And the woman who answered was like, what is the question? And I said, last night around 1:30 in the morning, you guys played a movie and I don't know what it was. And could you please tell me what it was? And she was like, hang on. And then she came out and she said, You can't take it with you. I think Jimmy Stewart, Lionel Barrymore.
And I was like, yeah, and Charles Coburn maybe was in that, I think. I'm not sure.
The woman who was in It Happened One Night, Jean Arthur?
No, that was Claudette Colbert.
Claudette Colbert. So it was either Jean Arthur or Claudette
Colbert. Colbert to you other people. You non-Christians.
Right. Is she related to Stephen Colbert?
You know, I wonder if she is.
You know how sometimes in Hollywood,
yeah,
everyone's related to everybody. Like
that's
George
right.
Clooney is related to Rosemary Clooney.
I know. Her
is
nephew.
His
he's her nephew, yeah.
Really weird. So is Summerstock one of your favorites? Because, I mean, if you saw it 11 times.
It's from the 50s.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think it's from the 50s. And it's not one of my favorites, but it has a really, you know, special place in my heart.
Right. Right. There's movies that do that instead.
Yes,
but
definitely.
Bringing a Baby, remember, was it at the end of the movie? Katharine Hepburn says at the end of the movie, the reason she was acting so crazy was because she fell in love with him immediately.
With Cary Grant?
With Cary Grant. She
wow.
said, I know that I'm not usually this you know, and then
unhinged.
I think, unhinged. And then she does something unhinged where you're like, no, he likes you back. You are still unhinged.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I mean, there were so many quotable moments in that movie.
Remember that dress? Where she has sort of a gauzy thing.
Yes,
around.
that gauzy thing with the like almost like a ribbon edging.
Ribbon edging.
And that's where she's trying to pop the olive. That's the scene.
Yeah.
And it falls on the floor and he enters he's not even entered the entire frame and he whooped. And he was amazing physically, of course, because he was an acrobat.
Right. Well, that physical. I did not know Cary Grant was an acrobat, was he?
Well, he wasn't. Yeah. By the way, can
was
you
he in
hear
the circus?
This?
A little bit.
All right. It's on the edge. You can hear it on the edge of my desk. I have to be careful with it.
Oh, okay.
I don't want it to.
Is it the keyboard or what is it?
No, it's a bracelet.
Oh, it's a bracelet.
Yeah.
Is it a nice bracelet? Is it a
friendship
bracelet?
Well, it's my dad's army bracelet.
Oh, with his?
With his name on it and his number on the back.
Nice.
And from World War II, I guess, and they had these things and dog tags in case
they had double
burnt beyond recognition. But my father was an accountant, so he had a desk job, so there was really no reason for him to have this.
He was luckily not burnt.
No,
he lived.
Thank goodness.
He lived to have children's.
Yes, he did.
And congratulations, Mr. Ladd.
Three of them.
Yes.
But, what were we talking about? Bringing Up Baby the Cary Grant being, I think he was a circus performer.
Oh, as a child, like he came up in the circus?
Yeah, we have to look that up.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think I vaguely remember that because I love Cary Grant. As a child, I used to get him and Rock Hudson mixed up a lot.
Oh.
Not knowing that I had that face thing.
Yeah.
Because they were both very handsome.
Yes.
And dark hair. Tony Curtis, I used to get them mixed up a little bit with Tony Curtis, because Tony Curtis's hair was super curly.
Yes,
And he was much younger.
Yes.
And,
oh, yeah. He was a different era, as was Rock Hudson. But Cary Grant, I just the other night I watched one of my favorite movies, not of this era, but North by Northwest.
Oh, right.
I drool over that movie. It's just so stunning.
Was that the one where he's on the train and he's mistaken for the guy?
Well, he's mistaken for the guy when he's at the Plaza Hotel.
Okay.
And somebody says he has a phone call and these two guys are waiting for, he gets up when he's paged they page a guy named George Kaplan. And he gets up as he needs to do something else. And these two killers mistake him.
Oh.
And then they take him out to Glen Cove, Long Island, which is near the next neighborhood to where my sister lives. And
that's just a coincidence, you guys.
It is a coincidence. And and they pour an entire bottle of whiskey down his throat and put him in a car trying to kill him. And
mm-hmm.
it's with Eva Marie Saint, who's, I mean, could not be more stunning. than she is in this film.
You know, what's interesting about North by Northwest is I have a hard time watching his movies. Hitchcock's movies, because they're full of a great deal of tension, usually.
Yes.
And he's famous for it.
He is famous for that. That's a good point, Jackie.
Yes. And I don't enjoy a great deal of tension.
Does it too? I mean, I was on the edge of my seat, and I've seen this movie 20 times.
Right. And so I tend to watch things that are full of tension from a doorway.
I see what you're saying. Kind of like the door jam action.
And I accidentally, like I was just flipping channels, I was like, you should watch this. This is supposed to be a great movie. And it was also very clever and funny.
It was.
There's a lot of great lines in that movie.
Oh, I read something about this, that he manages to be in, his life is in danger, and he manages to be witty at the same time. And it's an incredibly great performance. And it's very well written.
I think I need to watch it from beginning to end.
Oh, yeah, I think you do.
I think the one Hitchcock movie I saw on purpose was where they bury a guy, where they go out, some guy's dead right at the beginning.
Is it? I don't know which one it is.
It's one of his lesser known ones.
It's Family Plot, perhaps?
Maybe.
Because I've not seen that, but that's one of his later ones that was less lauded.
I have been mocked openly for liking later Albert Brooks more than I like younger Albert Brooks.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Like, example?
Defending Your Life and Mother.
Oh,
versus Lost in America.
One of my absolute favorite movies. Mother is so much funnier than I think that it got credit for.
Oh my God!
Debbie Reynolds was so brilliant in that.
She was brilliant in that movie. I watched it once a year.
That she froze. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, the food scene?
Oh my God, the government cheese? Yes.
Yeah. Tastes like foot. There's a reason why it's smaller. There's a reason why the freezer is smaller. Everything doesn't need to be stored in there. He's like, it's like Fantasia, where all the food keeps coming.
Oh, it's so great. And then she asks if he wants ice cream, and he said, what are all those crystals? That's the protective ice.
You've named stuff on top.
It's
like, it's fancy cheese day or something. It's fancy.
I don't remember that.
Remember they're at the grocery store? Every food scene.
Oh, right.
Is extraordinary.
Right.
Is what I'm saying. The writing.
And she said she wasn't going to pay that much for jam or something.
It's fancy jelly days. It's fancy jelly times, Mom.
Right. That's so funny. But Defending Your Life is absolutely one of my favorite movies.
It's beautiful.
It's a brilliant idea executed almost, I would say perfectly, even though
pretty flawless.
Perfect.
There isn't a scene that isn't needed, and the secondary jokes in it, are worthwhile. Just like the stuff on the TV, the stuff on the billboards, the
Welcome to Judgment City, right? Even the name Judgment City. Oh,
yeah, the coffee table books above LA.
Come above on. Everything. Oh, it was great.
Rip Torn?
Rip Torn was the best. Psst, yes. Wrap it up.
Speaking of which, pick another movie because keep
Notorious, speaking of Hitchcock, is another one of my favorites. It's one of my favorites of Hitchcock's, Notorious. That's with Cary Grant also and Ingrid Bergman.
Okay. What is that about, Notorious?
That is about... Ingrid Bergman is hired by this kind of, I guess, a government agency to spy on Claude Rains because they suspect him of Nazi affiliation. And
ooh.
Yeah, it's shot beautifully. And it's very tense. It's very tense. And when they find out, how do you feel about spoilers on this?
Spoilers on a movie that was made in the 30s?
this one is actually, I believe it's in the early 40s, I think.
Okay. I think
it's okay.
It's my fault for not all seeing right. Notorious. You may spoil this movie.
Okay, yes. but it's not going to be spoiled to you because it's you're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
But they when they find out that she and Cary Grant fall for each other, and then he gets angry at her for. I can't even remember. I'm not articulating this well. But anyway, she is used by this government agency to spy on Claude Rains, and the way she does it is that he's fallen for her, Claude Rains, and he asks her to marry him, and she does, and that's how she can get really close to finding.
That is a commitment to some real spying. Holy
that
smokes!
That is really somebody who. Wants to do a good job.
Right.
But so then they find out that she's actually a spy and they slowly start to poison her. And of course, Cary Grant saves the day.
Well, thank goodness. So Claude Rains is a Nazi.
Yes.
That's the big reveal there.
Yeah.
And what is it about Cary Grant being in these movies where someone gets hit by a car when the, remember that movie where that woman gets hit by, and they go to the top of the Empire State Building?
Oh, that's not Cary Grant. Is that Cary Grant? Oh, yes, it is. That's An Affair to Remember with Deborah
right.
Carr. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
And he sees her with wheelchair.
He sees her wheelchair. That's right. And she's just lying on her. He thinks she stood her up.
Right.
To get
when
married.
She cannot and stand up. That is a very bad joke. Mm-hmm. Feel free to judge
that's
me harshly.
That's a good pun.
That's some wordplay, you guys. And but Notorious is another Hitchcock film.
It is.
With Claude Rains.
Yes.
This
is
and
some other great players as well. Is Leo G. Carroll in this one too? I can't remember because he was
I've
in North
I've been watching
Northwest.
Casablanca
oh,
on
so good.
Delta. Because it's in the Delta Classics, Delta Airlines.
Yes.
And so I've seen it probably five or six times in the last
months?
Year?
Oh, okay.
6 months? Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, I watched Dungeons & Dragons 4 times last week.
Oh, wow.
Because it was a long flight and I could watch it twice.
Wow.
And that's Hugh Grant. Anyway, but these are two, maybe I'll watch a Hitchcock film.
Yeah, I mean, the Shadow of a Doubt is another one of my favorites of his.
Oh, that's
that
his.
Is not that widely known.
That sounds scary.
They're all suspenseful.
Okay.
That one is with Teresa Wright and Joseph Cotten.
Okay.
It's wonderful. And that, it's funny, and now that I'm thinking of that, Teresa Wright reminds me of one of my absolute favorite movies, and I don't remember, this could be a 30s or 40s film, actually, The Little Foxes. Did you ever see that?
Oh, right, right.
Oh, boy.
I have seen that. My brother, Russ, who has been on this program, will sometimes, he loves it when I stay over, because it's a hostage situation. He has a lot of movies saved on the DVR, and he just wants to show me his favorite scenes.
Oh, wow.
And so I have seen some, he likes, who was in His Girl Friday? What was it? Rosalind Russell?
Cary Grant and Rosalind Russell.
He loves a Rosalind Russell movie.
Yes.
And he will, it'll just be like, just hang on. And then 2.5 hours later, I will have seen a movie.
Wow.
And The Little Foxes, I think, was one of those films.
Oh, it's an amazing, Betty Davis is so evil in it.
Right.
Oh, she's so evil. And Herbert Marshall is her husband who has failing health. And
do you think Betty Davis was acting? Or do you think she was really, really pretty? Like, do you think she could have cut somebody? Betty Davis
you know,
is amazing.
I questioned that. It's interesting because Betty Davis, I was introduced to Betty Davis first.
What?
Not in person, but introduced to her work first. Hush Hush Sweet Charlotte and Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. I never knew of her, you know, I thought, oh God, she's so scary. And then I saw her younger with, you know, Leslie Howard in The Petrified Forest. She was beautiful and now Voyager, and you know, all these incredible films that she made. She was wonderful. She was so wonderful.
Right.
But could she have cut someone? Maybe. I mean, she was a tough broad.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what sometimes I look at actors and I wonder, like, because it's such a gift, right? To be a good actor. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, like, are they really acting? Do you remember My Favorite Year?
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite movies.
Yes.
And there's that line that Peter O'Toole has in it about how he's like, I'm not an actor, I'm a movie star. And what's his name?
Mark Lynn Baker.
Yes, Mark Lynn Baker says, well, I don't need you real. I don't need the real you. I need movie stars as big as I can get them. Right. And that guy has to be in you somewhere.
Right.
And that's what I sometimes think about. And then I see a guy like Michael Douglas, who can play. I mean, the guy feels like he might be an empty vessel that you just pour a script into.
Because, I mean, one of my favorite things to watch of his is Behind the Candelabra.
Now, what is that?
Oh, my God, Jackie. He plays Liberace.
Oh, he played Liberace. That's right. Tom Papa had a bit part in that.
Oh, that's right.
He played
And Matt Damon plays his lover.
Right.
And they're both terrific. But I mean, Michael Douglas was transported into this character. I mean, it's like, I don't know how he
Weirdest. Watching Michael Douglas in, like, you see him in The American President.
Yes.
And then you see him in Wall Street.
Yes.
And you're like, wait, that isn't the same. And then you see him in something like Romancing the Stone.
Right.
Or playing Hank Pym in Ant-Man. And you're like, who is this? Who is he?
But that's a very interesting take on it, that the empty vessel.
Right. You know? I mean, what's this conversation? I don't know if you've ever hung out with Jay Leno, but that guy is 85% stand-up comic, 10% Motorhead, and 5% guy you can talk to. It's probably great he doesn't have children. So,
but I know, but he's a good man. He's a good man.
He is a good guy. He's a really good guy.
But he's such a workaholic.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, who falls down a hill and then keeps going? At 75 or whatever the hell he is.
Bruised, like his eye close to hanging out. Yes, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, I wonder what it is like to talk to Michael Douglas.
Yes, I do. But I will look. I've been meaning to watch that
Behind the Candelabra. It's
just
really
because you
good.
Know Liberace's from Milwaukee.
Oh.
Yeah. One of my grandmothers knew him. Yes.
Wow.
And she was a huge fan. She would, I don't know if she was kidding, but I remember her more than once saying, it's so sad he can't find the right girl. And my stepmother, whose mother she was, would always be like, Mom. And so I think that she knew she was kidding. And because it was always the 70s, and the 70s
were
different.
Funny. Oh, my God. Yes,
the way people talked about
were.
Homosexuals. Yes. But not unsupportive, completely supportive,
right.
But a little, you know, I don't know if you've ever tried to watch Will and Grace recently, but they did the Lord's work in making gay people human.
Right.
But it really doesn't hold up.
No. Yeah. I can definitely admit. I can see that. Yeah.
Okay. So pick another movie for me.
Okay.
So sorry.
Gentleman's Agreement. I've not seen that in a long time. That's Gregory Peck and Dorothy McGuire, and it's about anti-Semitism.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weird. Gregory
Very timely.
Peck. I love Gregory Peck. Oh, you know, when isn't it timely?
I know, I suppose.
When are people going, oh, I can't wait to hang out with more Jews?
I know.
It's so sad.
You know, what the can I curse on this?
Please, swear it up.
Okay. What the fuck did Jews do that's so bad?
It's, you know, I don't know. I, the thing is if I had an answer for that, how creepy would that be?
I know. But it's this hatred of the other that we've become so good at in this country.
Yes. Which is so weird because the illusion is that we were inclusive of the other. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was what we were sold mm-hmm. with the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Right. That's the ideal, right? The American mm-hmm. ideal. And I'm a huge, because I've tried to do a bit about how the founding fathers were very fatherlike, because they were always like, do as I say, not as I do. And by the way, a joke that has never worked, or has never, or people just go, oh, yeah, you're right. So there's not enough strong enough laugh to it. But
a great observation.
As observational comedy goes, it's quite nice. And mm-hmm.
It's quite lovely.
But I love that because it was all written down, the Constitution, and it was sort of do as I say, not as I do. Mm-hmm. As we got further away from those founding fathers, we're like, well, no, that's what they wanted. That's what they right. wanted. That's what they, and so we tried harder and we achieved very much.
Right.
I think civilization wise, we have come forward a great deal.
Oh yeah.
And not that there's not trouble. I think we all know that there's troubles. Yeah. And, but I think they can't put it back in the box. You know, civilization will move forward anyway. Mm-hmm. So sad, too bad, Nazi fucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. We will win in the end. So yeah, I may not be there for that. It, but fuck these people. Yeah.
And I'll die trying, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm okay. Yeah. I've had a good life. Mm-hmm. It's fine. You need to, you need to hide behind something. I always say, this is solid. So, I don't know if you know this about white women. Cops always pull their punches. How do I know? I look like their aunt. Gentlemen's agreement,
yes. It's not one that I know as well as others, but it's always been, what I love about that movie is that it tackles something, and I can't remember what year it was. Can we find out what year it is? Can't hear you.
I turned off my phone.
Yes.
I was a fool to do
it. Oh, I can do that. Let me do it this. Hey, Siri, what year was the film Gentleman's Agreement? 1947.
Oh, there you go.
So it was 2 years
after
beyond
the war.
The end of World War II. And, oops, sorry, Siri, I'm still talking to you. And I think it was, I mean, look, it's not, you know, here's, I mean, look, I keep thinking of other films. The Great Dictator to me was a much braver film in that it was smack in the middle of World War II. And right, he was skewering Adolf Hitler.
Right. The Great Dictator, Charlie Chaplin. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. I've never seen that movie.
Oh, you would really appreciate it. It is incredible satire.
That speech by Charlie Chaplin at the end, where he is mistaken for the Great Dictator. And so he gets to make this speech to the people of his.
I just got the chills.
Is that how the movie ends?
I think it is.
Because I've tried to look it up and I should probably, I mean, I have not seen there are buildings full of things that I have not seen, you guys, books I haven't read, music I haven't listened to.
Yeah. And I mean, how is it possible to do everything? You can't.
You can't. And so and granted, I'm sure that this is one of those episodes where people are like, what do you mean you've never seen all of North by Northwest?
Oh my God. You are going to, I am a little jealous of where you're at right now.
People say that because I had never listened to Fleetwood Mac. But that's not even possible because I've been to grocery stores and gas stations. I've heard Fleetwood Mac. So,
right. Of course. Yes. You've been in elevators.
So a gentleman's agreement,
1940 was the Great Dictator.
Just was the dictator. So that's smack that in the
pretty,
middle.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty brave.
That's super brave. Yeah, a gentleman's agreement. Is it a courtroom drama?
No, it's about a guy who works, I believe he works in advertising and he is, or he's, I think it's in advertising or journalism or I'm not quite sure. I told you, I don't know this one as well, but he decides to write a story about anti-Semitism and, and pretends to be Jewish and finds anti-Semitism all over the place. And this is in 1947.
Right. Still thriving, turns out.
Still thriving.
Yes, was not destroyed. Wow. Did you ever see The Long Shot?
No. What's that?
Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron.
Oh.
It is a romantic comedy. And it opens with him. He is a journalist who has joined a Nazi group. And they want him to prove it by putting a swastika on his, getting a tattoo of a swastika.
Oh, okay.
And so he has been recording them to sort of out them, right? As this thing. And he writes for this magazine in Brooklyn that's real hip. And, and so he ends up jumping off like he would have died in real life because it's just slapstick comedy. Right.
Oh, okay.
And it's that kind of thing where you're like, I lived. And you're like, you wouldn't have. And so he has to take this half a swastika and turn it into like a stick figure that's walking with a hat.
Right.
Anyway, so, but.
Stick figure that's walking. It's so funny. Can you turn a swastika? I was actually thinking that a minute ago.
Yes.
Turn a swastika into?
It was a walking guy with a hat. But Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron, I do recommend it because it is incredibly well written. I was initially very mad because I love
Charlize Theron.
Yes, and if there was, I don't often think about who would I date if I were gay. She's stunning.
Ooh.
But she was so amazing in Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh my God.
That's where I think I fell in love with her. So.
And she was wonderful in that. What was it? The Cider House Rules. Wasn't she in that?
Wow. Was she in the Cider House? I read the book. No, I did not read the book because I only read one of his books and it haunts me to this day. And it's Owen Meany, A Prayer for Owen Meany.
Oh, I haven't read, I have to read that.
If you want to be haunted.
I've read every single one of John Irving's books.
It was the only John Irving book I read. And I was like, ever want to be haunted like this again. I still have dreams about A Prayer for Owen Meany.
I don't know what it's about even.
It is about, and I can't, I will not get this right because it's all mixed in my dreams now.
Oh, okay.
But he practiced. It was about a whatever. He was
I'll
the
read
little,
it.
He
I'm
was a little person, and he
down.
Was and he was the hero, and he was very, very smart, and it's just intense. The guy writes intense books, John Irving, and I saw Cider House.
So prolific, woo!
Yeah, and matter of fact, I'm doing another Dork Forest today about Andy Woodhull's going to be on next episode.
Oh,
you guys,
great.
Andy Woodhull talking about Dad Lit. Essentially Bosch and Jack Reacher. But he was also talking about, so we'll see. We'll see where that goes. This is a classic episode, by the way. Rangers know this. By the way, I am talking with Kathy Ladman, and it's at Kathy Ladman. Kathy's with a C.
Yeah.
Kathy Ladman.
Get that
and
right
it's Kathy Ladman one on Instagram, KathyLadman.com. She's going to be opening, she's going to be working with Wendy Liebman and Carol Leifer at Flappers in May.
Mother's Day. Yeah. 5 o'clock. Yes.
Right. And then the week before that, it's the Marc Maron run that you're doing.
Right.
Through New Hampshire and Vermont and New York. And go to KathyLadman.com to find out more about that. So, but this episode is classic, Kathy, because when I end up talking more than the guest, it just means that I want you to like me.
Are you talking more than I am?
I'm talking so much. I usually let people talk more.
Oh, am I not doing my job?
You're doing your job. I'm not letting you.
Oh,
yes.
Well, that's okay. I mean, I think this is great conversation.
It's a beautiful conversation.
It's very...
Everybody having a good time? Rangers? JackieCationMe.com? You know, it was a good one. Everyone loves it.
I'm very passionate about this, and I can tell that you are too. And that's... Boy, this is a great conversation. But let me just run through since we're running out of time.
Right, right. We only got another 15.
Anyway, so Gentleman's Agreement, I think, is a worth, is definitely, I mean, and I love Gregory Peck. He's, yes. You know, he's.
He's dreamy.
Terrific. Oh, God, terrific actor. The Lady Eve.
Oh.
With Barbara Stanwyck and Henry Fonda.
That's it.
That's one of the earlier ones that I chose.
Yeah, that. Is it Rosalind Russell my brother likes, or is it Barbara Stanwyck, or is it both?
It might be both. It might be both. You know, see, and Barbara Stanwyck, as a young girl, I was, the first time I saw her was on this show, The Big Valley.
Oh, right.
And I thought, I'm not digging this. And then I started to watch her early films, and then I saw what she's all about. Mm-hmm. You know, like what Double Lady Indemnity Eve and what?
What's Lady Eve about?
Lady Eve is about this this woman and her father who liked to con people on a cruise ship, and they see Henry Fonda, and they think, what's the word I'm looking for?
Mark?
They mark.
Is he a mark?
They think he's a good mark. Yeah. And she falls for him and he falls for her, and you know.
And how does her father take that?
I think he's happy.
Oh, good.
I think
it
he's
all
happy.
Works out, you guys.
At least in my phone call with him, he told me that.
he seemed pleased enough. He was like, oh,
he did.
I can't live forever.
So that's a screwball. I would consider that a screwball comedy.
Oh, cool. I love a screwball comedy. It's one of my faves. What else you got?
Oh, The Heiress.
What's that?
Oh, that's with Olivia de Havilland. And I believe Ralph Richardson plays her father, and Montgomery Clift.
Okay.
And she is a woman who's, you know, it takes place at the turn of the last century, like the early 1900s.
Okay.
And she's
fancy,
very plain, and
Olivia de Havilland.
Wait till you see what she looks like in that.
Poor thing.
I know. Plain, unmarried, mousy, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, this was back when literally, I mean, you know, the changing of the names when you get married, I've never been into the last names. And I don't know if you've done it, but
no.
I learned, and I didn't do it when I was married, which I'm no longer. And I found out that it's all about ownership. And it really is very apparent in this movie.
Okay.
That the father owns the daughter, and then she gets married, and the husband owns her.
Right.
And it's
disgusting. Oh, and that's the plot of the...
No, the plot of it is that...
Oh, is that the B plot? Is that sort of the weird message?
It's just sort of the era, and it's...
Okay.
And it emanates, and it's pervasive. You can tell what it's like. The father has the last word. He's gruff and, you know, awful. And anyway, so... She how does she meet Montgomery Clift? I can't remember. They meet someplace, and her father is very wealthy, and hence the movie title, The Heiress.
Right.
And so Montgomery Clift falls for her, and she falls for him, and he was very handsome. And the father thinks he's after her money. And she thinks he's not.
Right.
And it's just interesting. It's a great turn of a plot. And the very last moment in the film is so powerful.
Oh, my gosh.
So powerful.
All right.
I'm not going to tell you what it is because that'll spoil the moment.
And I'm not going to ask you if it's happy powerful or sad powerful.
It's a drama.
It's a drama?
Yes.
Well, then.
It's
amazingly acted and very well written.
Oh, my God. And who, I think those are the three main people that I remember. And there's another actor in there that I know, a woman who plays her aunt, and I can't remember who she is. But it's terrific. And that era is so lush.
That's amazing. You know? Yeah, yeah.
And even though this is a popular one, I chose it because it's so wonderful. The best years of our lives.
Oh, is that the one with the vets?
That's the one with the vets. It's a very anti-war film.
The veterans.
The veterans, yes. Not the doctors who take care of animals. Veterans.
I once saw that. The best years of our lives.
Yeah.
So that is very, very powerful. That's another powerful drama. And it is kind of an anti-war film.
It is an anti-war film.
Right. Even though, you know, World War II, known as like the last just war.
Mm-hmm.
You just see the byproduct of all war, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because, yeah, I think I saw it
so much light
back
on
when I used to think I was a pacifist.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out I might not be a pacifist. I have recently become aware mm-hmm. that I might not be a pacifist.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one has to defend what's important in life.
Right. 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 It's you know, I looked up the definition of pacifism, and it turns out it's nonviolence solutions to absolutely every single problem. And mm-hmm. there might not be a nonviolent solution to someone being violent at you.
No.
So that might be the caveat, the loophole of my pacifism. I think I became a pacifist because people kept hitting me.
Oh,
and I was like,
I bet you
here's a great way to say, hey, don't hit me. I'm a pacifist.
You may not have heard the news that I don't hit back.
I don't hit back.
So obviously you don't want to hit me.
You don't want to hit me.
No.
And then it turns out
you won't be getting hit.
Right.
And that's, you know, aren't you in it for that?
That's what we should all be in on. And it turns out that actually isn't why some people are hitting people. It's not so that they're afraid that they're going to get hit. It's just because they like to hit people.
Yeah.
Boo.
Oh, by the way, I saw this film the other day. The Amateur. We went to see a screening of it.
Oh.
With Rami Malek.
Right.
I didn't love it, but
it's sort of Taken, but by a nerd.
Yes.
You've taken a nerd's child is what you've done.
Right,
yes.
Right. And but there's one actor in it whom I cannot stand.
John
Bernthal.
Okay.
Do you know who he is?
Never heard of him.
Did you ever watch The Walking Dead?
No. I read the comic books.
All right. Bernthal. He always does the same thing in every film.
Okay. And his first name's John.
I don't get it. John Bernthal.
Right. I'm sure his mother's
very proud.
I don't
like to say bad things about people, but I don't sense a goodness in him.
Okay. And does he play the bad guy?
You don't. That's actually, I think he might be, but it's a little
ambiguous.
It's a little ambiguous, yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Well,
And here's another film that I loved, Shop Around the Corner. You seen that?
Yes. My brother has made me watch that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Twice
that doesn't sound
in the
good.
Last 2 months. No, it's fine. Shop Around the Corner was remade into You've Got Mail.
Correct.
Which is actually, Shop Around the Corner is less manipulative
yes.
than You've Got Mail. And less creepy, if you think about it, in
yeah.
sort of a Shop Around the Corner. Tell the yeah.
Okay,
it's
basically these two people work together. James Stewart and I cannot remember the actress's name. Do you?
Is it Colbert? Is it Claudette?
No, it's not Claudette Colbert.
Okay,
I don't think it's Jean Arthur.
Right. I always feel like it's Jean Arthur.
I loved Jean Arthur.
Yeah.
She was, and she had that voice that was so amazing. Hey Siri, who's the actress in Shop Around the Corner?
I think it's Little Shop Around the Corner, isn't it?
No, it's not.
It's
that's
just
Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, that's it. Ha ha.
It's not giving me an answer.
Well, Margaret Sullivan.
Yes, Margaret Sullivan. Okay.
Good. And Frank Morgan plays Hugo. Frank Morgan plays Maciek.
Yeah, it takes place in Poland.
Oh, does
and they
it?
Work at Maciek's.
Okay.
And Frank Morgan, of course, was the Wizard of Oz.
He was. There is a picture of him on this phone, and he was the Wizard of Oz. Hilarious. Yes. Good for him.
Yeah. And so James Stewart really loves Margaret Sullivan, and she cannot stand him.
Right.
And he tries in various ways to manipulate a meeting between them and writes her letters and
okay, so he's trying to court her without telling her who he is because she doesn't like him face to face.
Right. So he's trying to get into her heart through a different door.
Right.
And it's a great little film.
Okay.
It's very beautiful. It's a little, you know, quaint town.
I remember it being less manipulative than,
you know, I've never seen You've Got Mail.
I don't know how that's possible, but good for you. Because I love Tom Hanks and what's her face.
I love Tom Hanks too.
And,
Meg Ryan.
Meg Ryan. And, at the end of it, Tom Hanks sort of saves it.
Yeah.
Because he is a little, he owns like a Barnes and Noble.
Right. She owns a tiny little bookshop. Yes.
Yes.
Right. On the Upper West Side of Manhattan, I believe.
Right. Right. Right.
Yep.
And
I mean, I knew about the film, but I didn't want to see it.
Right. Right. Well, it's amazing. It's sort of like I never saw Beastmaster in the 90s. It's amazing.
I never saw that either.
Well, it was on cable a lot, and I was on the road a lot, so you would have thought I saw at least parts of it.
The title doesn't appeal to me.
Well, it's a fantasy action
movie. Oh, okay.
You would have seen it and gone, not it, and kept moving. So is Shop Around the Corner your last one?
It's the last one, but I can tell you something that I've left out.
Please do.
So many that... where the hell is it? Okay. Spellbound is something that I've not seen, I don't think.
Is that
and
Hitchcock?
That's a Hitchcock film. And that's with Ingrid Bergman and Gregory Peck.
Oh, wow.
Maybe I've seen it and maybe I'm not. I'm not sure, but it's something I want to watch. I mean, the ones that I, Casablanca and It Happened One Night, I didn't mention. Citizen Kane, I didn't mention because it's, it was so groundbreaking.
Yeah.
That I studied in college. It was so groundbreaking,
right?
Cinematically.
Holiday is so good, though.
Holiday's great.
It's not. It's light,
mm-hmm.
but it has such a great sort of message underlying the whole thing,
right?
About capitalism.
He's
It's like I want to make. He'd been working since he was like 14 and he was just about to make a giant bag of money. And he's like, I'm just going to take a little time and figure out what I want to do for a living. You know, what I want to do with my life.
Right.
And Katharine Hepburn and her little sister come from wealthy banking.
It's that character actor. And I don't know his name, but isn't that the guy who talks like this?
Oh, who plays her dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is right.
Yeah. And her, and the guy who plays her brother, who is a musician.
Yes.
And
I can see his face now. Right.
Okay. Yes. I should try to find other movies with him because he's got this great line where Katharine Hepburn is sad because she's fallen in love with Cary Grant and she wants to encourage him to stay with her younger sister, who is not famous and not Katharine Hepburn. So we know who Cary Grant's going to be choosing.
Right.
But she's like, what's it like to get drunk, to her little brother who is just drunk all the time? And he goes, oh, it's great. It's a delight. And she goes, well, does it last? And he goes, well, or what's that? Does it work? And he goes, well, it's for as long as it lasts. And she's like, well, oh, and she kind of like responds with, oh, ick. That's right. And so eventually you got to sober up.
Oh my God. That's great.
It's a
great movie. And Cary Grant gets a chance to do some acrobatics in that movie too.
Right. Right. And then his friends are played by the great character actors who I can never remember the name of.
Who are they?
They are, but they're in everything, the two of them, where it's a, they play professor and a PhD, a woman who also lectures PhD.
Right.
So I like, it made me fall in love with George Cukor, who had directed it.
Oh, I love George Cukor. Yeah.
Yes. Because he was the director of that. And so good. These are wonderful choices.
And then, you know, there are so many that I've left out. The Philadelphia Story I left out.
Right.
And Wuthering Heights I left out, which I love.
Interesting. Okay. The Philadelphia Story remade as High Society.
Yes.
Which is a semi-musical.
Which I saw first.
I saw that first as well.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense because it was closer to our time.
Yes. And it was in the 50s and it was in color and it was Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra, right.
And then what's her face? Grace Kelly?
Grace Kelly, right.
Grace Kelly, who became a princess.
Yes.
And then, there's a great song in that movie. Have you heard? It's in the stars. Next July, we collide with Mars. They had to add that afterwards because they realized after the shooting is that there was no duet with Bing Crosby and
Just froze on me. You're getting digitized out of
it's a sign of the view. End, Kathy Ledman.
Okay, that was great timing. Anyway, there were tons. Right.
It has been an hour. Yes.
Okay. There are tons more. I mean, I could.
There's so many
talk about this for hours.
And you could come back and talk about Tunisian crocheting. You never know. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been an hour. We've been talking with Kathy Ladman. It's Kathy with a C, Ladman with a Ladman, the number one on Instagram, KathyLadman.com. She's doing a great run with Mark Maron in early May. Go to KathyLadman.com. And then she is with Wendy Liebman and Carol Leifer on May 11th at Flappers here in Los Angeles. Thank you so much for doing the show.
Oh, God, my pleasure. It was my pleasure. Thank you. Do I just leave now? Do I just click the leave thing?
Do not leave, as a matter of fact. And I just have to say this, though, real quick.
Yes.
Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
All right, how was the show?
It was, you're going to be happy to hear that Kathy Ladman, shall we say, loves bringing up baby.
Bringing Up Baby.
Do you remember
one of
bringing
your
up-
favorite movies?
And
but
one of
not
your
one of my favorite movies.
One of your most maddening experiences when I like to watch a little Bringing Up Baby.
It's true. I can't watch it. I can't be party to it.
You can't be. Well, she quoted it like chapter and verse. She had a bunch of great lines. She was like, your golf ball, your car. Is everything yours?
Well, I am glad that you found a like-minded individual.
It's screwball comedies. She likes screwball comedies. She likes also some very heavy. There's one movie that she mentioned. She said, I don't want to ruin it for you, what the end is. And she said, it has a really great twist at the end. And I said, then I won't ask you if it's a happy twist or a sad twist. And she then said, well, it's a drama. And then I knew that I won't
sad
be watching
twist.
That.
Right.
But it was a super fun hour at Kathy Ladman. She's working with Mark Maron. She's going to open for his new special, his new Netflix special. And
oh,
then
cool.
She's just going to open for him in his sort of four or five day run before it and the East Coast.
Oh, that's
New Hampshire and Vermont, and then in New York, they're filming in Brooklyn.
Oh, nice! That's
so
great.
I can't wait.
So, did you spend an entire hour talking about Bringing Up Baby?
No, she had other. It was movies of the 30s and 40s that.
Oh, okay.
That were, but we weeded off. I mean, I kept sort of going. What about this movie? And then she would mention movies from the 50s. She mentioned Summer Stock. There were a lot of movies that my brother Russ has forced me to watch.
Yes.
And
from
one
his
of them
childhood.
Was,
they're movies from his childhood.
Russ has the illusion that he was raised in the Appalachians
in the 30s.
and the Depression. And my father, who was born during the Depression in 38, is like, I don't know what the hell he's got in his head with this thing, but okay. And so
we love him. We mock him because we love him.
Yes, it is very much that. And if anyone hasn't heard the Hallmark episode of The Dork Forest with Russ Gation,
oh, yeah.
You knock yourself out.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's got a spreadsheet. Go to the YouTube. Best Years of Our Lives. That was another one that she really liked.
Oh, yeah.
That one's super sad.
Oh.
But then there was a Shop Around the Corner, which Russ just made me watch.
Mm.
That's Jimmy Stewart. And they remade it into You've Got Mail, which Kathy Ledman had never seen.
Oh.
Which means she didn't have cable during a short shining period. So anyway, it was a great episode.
Sounds like fun.
I recommend, and I wrote down, I also want to see North by Northwest and maybe Notorious.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Both of those are great.
Right. They're both Hitchcock movies, and I can't, Hitchcock is a lot of tension.
There's some tension, but they're good. You'd like them.
She also talked about Betty Davis and something called Little Foxes. And
I don't know that one.
Well, it sounded dark as well. But I guess there was early Betty Davis when she was sort of the ingenue.
Yeah.
Before she turned into the most powerful woman in the world.
Right.
With madness or with just vitriol or.
And mental powers.
She was like she was Cerebro. She had mad skills, that Betty Davis. Anyway, great episode. People should watch it. And you know the rules out there. Take care of each other. Rangers.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?